My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot what I'm fighting for. When the weight of the world keeps you up at night, when you're running with no end in sight, thought you would never. You could find with Christ. You wanna change the world, but you don't know where you should start. But you can't give your all unless you let God inside your heart.
Good evening, Patriots, and it's the end of Friday, December 15th in the year 2023. We just finished up a fantastic interview the previous hour with Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers. If you didn't listen to that, please do. Just rocked it out of the park. This is a man who's been on the border. He's giving border updates. We're looking at the magnitude of treason within our government. He's calling it out, and he's walking with Christ and fighting that way too, so it's fantastic. Just a real inspiration and a good friend, a brother in Christ, and somebody I respect immensely as a retired Special Forces Lieutenant Colonel, just has really brought it tonight in a great way. So do check that interview out and share it. It's really good. Patriots, before we get going here, one thing to keep in mind is we are dealing with an insane amount of pressure to force us into a CBDC. In other words, taking away every bit of freedom you have in commerce so that you're tagged, tracked, located. And they can shut you off anytime they want based on what you spend and how you behave in your social credit score. We are living in tyranny, and we don't want that. You need to get yourself lined with gold and silver as precious metals. But in addition to that, you need to get your stocks out of that fiat currency nonsense and also your retirement accounts, especially retirement accounts, your IRAs and your 401ks. That's why you need Birch Gold. So type the word BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and text it to the number 989898. So that's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. Text it to 989898. Do that today. You're going to get a free information packet from Birch Gold. Read through it. Then you're going to call them, and they're going to help you along the way in how to set up the things that you need to ensure that you have precious metals in your portfolio and backing your retirement account. These folks are fantastic. They're top in their ratings. They've been with us for over a year. They've been taking great care of Bards Nation. You don't want to avoid this opportunity, especially in this critical time in which we are. And if you have an existing IRA or 401k, that's a no-cost transfer over to a precious metals-backed retirement account. No cost to you. So again, type Bards, B-A-R-D-S, that's the promo code, over to the number, send it, text it to 989898. 989898. That's 398s. Pretty simple. Get that. You're going to get your free information packet, read through it, give them a call, and you're on the way to the races, which is awesome. It's exactly what we need right now. I tell you, we are dealing with treason in this nation. And treason's a hard one to swallow. We have people who have lost their way, and part so much of that is that we have lost a moral base in our nation. We're out of sync with what's real and what's not real. And so much of the work that we've done has taken us away from the land, taken us away from the skills of actually doing things with our hands. Now, this morning I talked on some things I'm going to repeat a little bit tonight, just so you know, because I want to get into this whole principle of the neutering of the male in a different way. But I want to talk about the jobs that people are doing. I want to start with the stock market. And I want to talk about the people that are living their lives vicariously. Just, and I'm probably going to step on some toes, so I tell you this up front. If I do, well, okay. I mean, I want you to take it to prayer, and I want you to hear what I have to say, because there's a good reason that I don't participate in the stock market. And in principle, it's the way it's designed. And the reason I bring this up is there's a lot of people who are trying to find a way not to work, but instead to work in as their job is investing in money, rolling money and making money that way. And so effectively they're not working, and they're trying to, well, they try to tell you they do because they spend hours on the computer. It's a Ponzi scheme. You're literally dealing with roulette, and sometimes it's Russian roulette. And so there's a lot of things that go into the hours spent and predictive tabling and looking at trends and patterns and trying to figure out how you're going to get ahead of the curve and where you're going to make, you're going to get an insider tip from somebody. It's really a big game. And it's such a big game that when you really spend some time in and around Wall Street, you understand the millions and millions of dollars that these companies spend to increase their speed of like a micro fraction of a second, because everything is high-speed trading. And so much anymore is driven by artificial intelligence. So you really don't have as much control over your portfolios as you think you do, but it's a nice game to play. But even more so is something even darker than this, and it's the way the stock market is structured, and this is why I want to bring this up. We are in a world right now that's, we're supposed to be loving thy neighbor, okay? Love thy neighbor. Principle, pretty simple issue, straightforward. Stock market is not built that way. It is built intentionally to exploit thy neighbor. That's how it is designed. So here's how the structure works. We're dealing with corporate entities. They themselves have a lifespan of forever. Right? And so they are immortal. As long as the fees are paid, a corporation will never die. It is given rights that are outside the Constitution, because so much is based on property rights. But once you get inside the shell of somebody's corporate entity, they can dictate to a large degree what rights you get and what rights you don't get. Example, they can tell you you can't carry a weapon inside of a company. They can tell you have a limit on free speech. They can even limit the process of religion. They can do all these things. It's not a problem, because that's the right of the corporation, and there's always some lawyer that will write it, and it will hold up in court. So they've been built as an exterior entity to the Constitution of the United States. They are not subordinate to, they are outside of. And so that's your first major issue, right? And then we have the whole concept of trading money on these corporations. So the stock market loans these people money. The loan is paid back in dividends or some sort of process back into the investment. That's into the money invested in. And either way, somebody's going to get their pound of flesh out of the money that comes in. Now, the way this is set up is that corporations then build their wealth. They then pay the stock market dividends, which then go to stock market investors. But where does that money come from? The money's coming off of the back of the labor that's doing the actual work. So somewhere along the way, as all these strategies get shuffled and shuttled and stacked and collated, what they look for is how do they give the employees a perceived benefit while paying stock market investors their dividend and while retaining enough money to make the CEO wealthy. And that's, I'm being very honest about how this works. So employees get, maybe they'll get an extra day off, or they're going to create benefit packages. They will sell well, but in substantive wise, they probably won't have a lot of impact on the bottom line. And there'll always be an option. And this happened actually for real in 2019. There was a oil and gas company in Houston that it came in for its annual bonuses. And the problem is people come to rely on these bonuses, which they shouldn't do, but they do. And they had a fantastic year. And so they all got ready to receive their bonus, and their bonus was like half of what it was the previous year. And of course, they were disgruntled. And the CEO and the senior staff explained to them, and so, yes, we understand you're not happy. But here's the problem. In the last few years, while you've received good bonuses, our investors haven't received their proper dividend. So this year, we're paying them the dividend that they deserve, and that means that you all are not going to get the normal bonuses that you would get. That's the injustice of the system in a very simple sense, but it's worse than that because the profit on stocks is always coming on the back of the labor that's being done. Let's put this in biblical terms. The profit on stocks is always coming on the back of the gifts and talents that people are using to build and make a living. And so it's an exploitative industry that is designed to tie us together as taking from one another, not giving. And the more that you're invested in the stock market as your portfolio, you're gaining your wealth off of somebody else's labor. You're not doing any labor. And I don't, this is this argument I've been into way too many times with like people who do Bitcoin and do digital currency mining. And they'll try to tell me there's real labor going on there. I'm like, what's the labor? Well, a machine is creating energy and it's using and it's doing the algorithm break. It's like there is no labor involved in that. Energy does not equal labor. But this is what they'll tell you. Well, if you do labor, then you have energy exploited. It's like a machine is not doing labor. Machine is doing mathematical calculations to crack open some little prize that you get another Bitcoin for free. There's a distortion. Basically, what they've done is they've taken these and built these arguments to justify work that's not work. And why is all this important? Because from a standpoint of men, men are supposed to be substantive. They're supposed to be building things. If you've ever met a roughneck or a logger, one of the two, these men are strong. They are healthy. Loggers are a great example. Roughnecks too, but I want to focus on loggers because they're in my part of the country. The mountains that they climb and run up and down with a chainsaw on their shoulder, cutting trees, felling trees, doing choker set, pulling up the logs off the side of the mountain. It is hard work, hard work. And these guys do it day in and day out. And that's real. You're in the outdoors, you're breathing air, you're taking risks, and these jobs have real risks. Roughnecks, same thing. On the drilling rigs, this is hard work. These guys are massively strong. All these guys are. It's natural strength. Now we look at the world of today. Cubicles need to have gym time, people eating too much stuff while sitting, high stress issues in the work environment, circulation issues in the leg. I can go on a list of 1,000 things that go on. Because we're detached from the reality of who we're supposed to be. We're detached from the land. We're detached from the earth. But in lieu of that, what men want to do is fill that void with things. And things translate to, I want to be wealthy. Which is a bit of a joke, but nonetheless, it is the pathway of what happens when you rupture and sever the relationship of men to the land. Trades versus academic nonsense. Trades are solid. Every child coming out of high school should be going into a trade school, every one of them. And there shouldn't be any debate on where they're going to go first. They should be going to community colleges. Our community college in this county is absolutely top tier. It's top shelf. And what they're doing over here is they're improving their trade programs. So they have welding and they have surveying and they have also, I don't know, they have winemaking, like professional, how to be a winemaker. They've got all sorts of things here in this school. And they've added truck driving for CDL. There's other things they're doing, constantly improving this range of options that they're providing at a community college level, which every person coming out of high school should go and attend and get a certificate. Because it starts to anchor us into real work, not work that's, you know, living on an internet and playing around with digital nonsense or whatever. That's just, it doesn't give a substantive connection with the earth. And men need that more than ever. Men need to have it. I'm not saying women don't need it, but men need it substantially to define who they are. And that's part of a maturing and reclaiming what we've lost. And we have lost a lot, quite frankly. And that we've lost has to be reclaimed through the actual process of getting back to the basics, which is Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16 probably speaks more to all of this than anything, as we truly seek the ancient paths to try to reclaim all that we are and all that we were. And unfortunately, we're not moving real fast on that. But that is, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths. The key words there are look and ask. It doesn't say look and wait. Where the good way is, and then walk in it. So as it's shown, you shall walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You will find that rest in that type of work, because it's what we're intended to be. It's part of the anointings that we've been given. It's a part of what we were intended to be. We are not intended to be, believe it or not, professional gamers that spend hours in front of a TV, nor are we supposed to be desk jockeys that live inside of cubicles. That's not the nature of this. All of that is dehumanizing structure intended ultimately to break the will and the moral base of a human being. And once you do that, there's literally, you just become weakened. You can have if you live in that space where they want you to live, your faith is weak, if you have it at all. Your health is weak. All of these things become weakened, substantially weakened. And that is something that we have to get far better at in understanding the impact of these environments, so that we can start to get people back into the fight and back into rebuilding a nation. We need welders. We need woodworkers. We need electricians. We need plumbers. We need the substantive trades that make a difference in building a nation. We need people who know how to forge steel. We need people that know how to design. We need people and design in true sense, not in the CAD sense, but in the true sense of design with pen on paper, the way I was originally trained. We need people that can start doing these substantive things. Maybe you're going to run a letterpress or an offset letterpress. You're going to learn to do it the old way, so that we're not relying on the digital architecture of the world that's telling us how to do things. Everything now is about taking us a step further back from the reality of what we do. It's all designed that way so that they can insert AI, insert robotics, and slowly sever humanity from anything substantive in their life. Because the anchor of the substantive sense is important. It is to get into the root and the vine and the fruit in which the vine produces. Those are so important in the principle of who we are. We can't step back from it. And yet we do all the time. There was a comment made by Leah at Resistance Chicks the other day, and I have to say I'm having to rethink my response to this, because she was talking about a mechanic versus a person that works on horses. And she was talking about how men are more connected when they're working on a horse than when they're connected on an engine. Now, I pushed back on that a little bit openly, because I was like, well, I know a lot of mechanics, people that design engines, people that tune engines, like that is their passion, and it's true. But I think that there's something very substantive. And when I say this, when we go back to these more principal ways, where instead of working on an engine, where you're literally learning how to shoe a horse, and you're literally knowing how to repair a cart. Now, I know this sounds very primitive and very Amish-ish, but I'm not sure that they're wrong, and I'm not sure we're right. In fact, most of the technology that we've gained and added to our lives has not improved things. It's degraded humanity, and it's degraded our way of life. And that's a major problem. It's a major problem. Someone said to me the other day, it was a fantastic comment. He said, I was a scout in Vietnam and my expectation of a life was 11 seconds. There was a well guy that came out to the property the other day. And this is what he told me. He said, I was a scout in Vietnam and the expectation for life was 11 seconds. But today, that same job, we've actually have a better lifespan. We've gained, it's now 14 seconds. I started laughing. $1 trillion defense budget and all the technology in the world, and we've gained 3 seconds on an expected lifespan of a scout. That's pretty much the reality of how ridiculous our technology is. It has not done much for us. In warfare, it hasn't improved things. In fact, arguably, you could say that primitive technology is more successful in many ways than advanced technology. I always use this example. I will always use this example because it's so blatant in our face. The invasion of Somalia, when they came in the Little Birds and they came in the Black Hawks, they were attacked by RPGs. When you look at the development of the Black Hawk, no one ever factored in RPGs as an anti-aircraft weapon because it doesn't have a heat-seeking tip. It doesn't have a detonation fuse when on impact like that. So what is it that they were doing? Well, what they did is they fired them in volleys. They just created a wall of RPGs as these helicopters came in. It's not a matter of whether they were tracking. And many of these RPGs, which I was part of when I was in Afghanistan with the Chechens who were training the Afghans, they were measuring out distances. And the thing about an RPG is it has a self-detonating fuse. I believe it's at 912 meters. And so when it reaches that point, it automatically self-detonates. So what did the Chechens teach the Afghans to do? To fire so that by the time that round hit over the firebase we were in, they would self-detonate over us and spray shrapnel down on top of us. This is low-tech meets high-tech. So why do I get into all this? Because in the world that we're in, we are so functionally disconnected from the real things of life. Most, you watch young kids today, they don't know what a hammer is. They don't know what a saw is. They don't know how to repair things. They don't know how to get in and rewire things. And so they literally don't understand. I just read a comment, Scott. My random fact, sitting here with my SIG M400 with a Vortex optic on my lap. Well, there's that too. There's that technology that is very satisfying. I'll just leave it at that. But it's good. I like it. So anyway, that's a good comment. Anyway, so as much as we are, what I'm trying to get at is we have to get back into the reality of touching and feeling and building and doing things with our hands. And men have to do it. When the farther you move men away from that core element, the more that they are detached from the strength of the earth in which they are intended to be. And I feel very strongly about this. I mean, it's things then we have to develop back into the purpose of being. So as we get back into the place where we are literally building purpose. So imagine the person who just builds houses randomly. If for a person is a job, it becomes a cookie cutter. I've done it. This is why I'm saying this. My construction company was a remodeling company, and I did custom work in building outdoor living structures for people in Portland. My work was good, very high end. Thing is, what you're doing is ultimately you are just building stuff for people for money. And there's a point I will tell you that it doesn't matter how good you are and how beautiful your project is. My stuff was published in Better Homes and Gardens. It was published in the Oregonian. It was good work. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter how much you're paid. It doesn't matter what you're doing. When you're just doing it to do it, after a time, it just becomes another thing to do. But when we get back to the place of building for purpose and substance, this is again where the Amish start to get into something really powerful. They come together as communities and they raise a barn. They come together as communities and build a house. They're doing things for purpose and intent. It's just not random. And yet every single time they do, they're improving and refining the skills and taking the skills that they have and passing it on to the younger generation. That sort of trade, craft, guild type structure where we're constantly keeping people engaged in real work is essential. It is. So here's another example of the connectedness versus the function. Going on a hunt. There's two ways you can do a hunt. You can go out to get to the hunt, to get the kill, to get the trophy, to stick it on your wall. That's one hunt. Or there's the hunt where you're really pursuing the animal. And ultimately that hunt is a blessed hunt where you're praying into it and what you receive is the gift that God gives you. And it's the animal giving his life to you or her life to you for the purpose of a blessing. There's your two differences. We have to get back to that root of purpose and connected with God in all things. And unfortunately, we are looking at across the board at a large class of men who are very much neutered in this point in time. Let's roll back to 2008 and the breaking of the financial markets that happened when we had all the loan markets implode. Okay, men took it brutally. And if you really watch the progression with this, it was fascinating what they did. So strategically done, so well done in terms of a cultural attack, and no one was paying attention. What happened is there was the wave of attack hit heavily on white working men in that banking collapse. mortgages. People had built empires. Men had built empires of having leveraged multiple loans that were purchased or acquired at very low interest rate, many of them variables, meaning they're variable interest rate loans. So they got them at a very low rate. The expectation was, and they were running a gamble, that they'd be able to get enough equity built up in those houses. They'd be able to flip them, get the cash out before the loan rate went back up. And variables are a trap because, as you very well know, if you don't have a fixed rate, those variables can jump radically. And then you're responsible for the new payment structure. If your house is a rental, that's a real trap. Because if you have a variable on it and you've got a low interest rate and you've set a rent on something, and then midway through that rental contract, you can't increase the rent until your lease comes around, and market will bear ultimately what you can charge anyway. But when your mortgage payment is, say, it's being covered at, say, $750 a month for a rent, and then overnight that variable rate changes from, say, 2% to 6 or 8%, and now you have to pay each month twice that amount, $1,600. You can't change your rent to that to match for many reasons, and you definitely can't change it mid-lease. It's against the law. So all these details, which may seem insignificant, are very significant and understand where the mind and focus of men is. Because they're out here in this world of trying to manage the finances and manage the details to keep things going. And it's like minutia because it doesn't put food on the table. You can't eat those numbers. You can't smoke them. You can't can them in a pressure cooker. And when things get out and down and hard, it's not going to pump your well's water into your house. So looking at life differently rather than a life of trying to build a world of convenience, which is constantly what we're doing here. We're constantly trying to build worlds of convenience to make things easier for me instead of trying to make life appreciating the challenge of life that we're doing. It's constantly trying us to try to make things easier so our life isn't so stressful. Let's transition to kids. Watch this one. The number of people right now that believe that it's a good idea to give time away from the kids as parents. I need a break from the kids. I find this amazing. Now, hear me out. Again, I'm going to probably step on some toes tonight, and it's okay. You can be angry at me. You can go pray to God about it, and you come back and forgive me later or forgive whatever. But here's the bottom line. There's a lot of emphasis placed in the parenting of today to give the parents time away from the kids. I need a down day. It's so stressful. I need a time away. I've got to go do something with my girlfriends. It's a strange thing because kids become, and the argument is that it's very difficult to do kids. Many of these kids aren't even homeschooled. So the real question is, what has happened to the anointings of believing and looking forward to being part and parcel with your children? Not every day is easy. I know that. I raised two adopted boys. So I understand that there's not every day is easy. But at the same time, there's a challenge in our life that we've hit now that somehow between the world and our family, we need this. I need a break. I need to get away from the kids. I need to get this. I need to do that. Every child wants to be the child that the parents are so excited about seeing every day that they're celebrating with a hug. Every child wants that. Question is, how many homes really provide that? Every child wants to have time with their dad or their mom every day in some fashion. And the question again is, how many homes really provide that? I'm a workaholic. I truly am. And if I was a parent right now, there would have to be some serious adjustments to my schedule to be able to do what I do and still be able to give children the focus and time that they require and need. It isn't a point of trying to get away from kids, and yet our society is pushing this again. And in doing so, what's happening here? We're separating out the family and changing the very nature of the way the family operates. Then kids go on their way, they get to be adults, and then if they have to come back home, oh my goodness, what a trauma that is, because the parents finally got rid of them and set free, and they turned their room into their office and turned the other room they had into a painting room or art room for the mother. And it's like the existence of the child is erased. Send them out the door. Get rid of them as fast as we can. Shuttle them to universities. Call it a good day. And the child is in the world, dominus ominous, and you're blessed. Go do forth and do good things. But please remember us. Don't stick us in a retirement home that we know you will. come visit us when we have time, etc., etc. It's a broken model. So much of what we are dealing with is broken because we have lost the moral underpinnings for a nation that we need in order to succeed. Pete and I talked about this in the previous show, but it gets even deeper though. The moral underpinnings of a nation is how we value the principal things that God gave us: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's start with the first one, life. Not only do we speak life, we're given by the Creator to pursue life. That means no abortions, by the way. That means, the way I translate that is, life does not say limit the seed, don't prevent the number of kids. Life also doesn't say try to get your kids out of home as fast as you can once they get into high school age. Life is about the living and existing within a world in relationship to Him in all things. Liberty. It's our freedoms. It's our rights to pursue what we want in our heart. It's what ensures that as a country, we come together to raise this up, and that we're not confronted constantly with a government that's trying to surveil us, because that's not of God. And so again, life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? Happiness. Happiness and joy. We're lifting that up in the Holy Spirit, and we're lifting a nation up in all three. All of these things are the capstones of who we are supposed to be in this nation. This is what we're supposed to be. And what's a beautiful part about that is they reflect very deeply into who we should be in Scripture. One and the same. And yet we don't do it. And we're fighting it constantly because we're constantly doing the variety of wars against ourselves that is just another version of spellcasting. And it's doing a great job of diminishing the strength and power in which we have and authority which we have in this nation. And so evil, that's evil's playground right there. So let's be very clear. That is evil's playground. The minute that you go into a depressive state or a lower frequency state, you are literally opening the door and saying, Satan, please take a seat next to me. And by the way, I rebuke that statement 100%. Stay out, Satan. I don't want you here. And that is where we have to truly, truly get real about the state and where this fight has to go. Men. So we have men who need to get back into the root and doing things with their hands, doing great things, learning to work in the fields, not in white collar, not in cubicles, not in designing websites constantly. I mean, yes, that's work, but that's work. It's not the substantive work of building things up. And someone's going to argue and say, well, you have to have these trades and talents. And I'm like, I don't know. I think our technology we've already established has gone so far off the rails. We need to do a technological reset and then consider what is actually important. That has to happen. But we haven't got there quite yet, but we're going to get there. And when we do that technological reset, then we can take a look at what we need, filter out what we don't need, and what we definitely don't need is more distractions like we're getting. But our world right now needs us in that place of morally resetting it and resetting this nation and resetting the people morally. If we are in this fight, no matter how far we fight, we can win every single battle in this fight. We don't have the moral reset in this nation. We lose the war because there's nothing that changes. We can win a fight with a bunch of deadbeat transgenders out here. But at the same time, if we win the moral fight, that whole discussion is going to change anyway. We're not going to be talking about transgenders. Because quite frankly, that's not natural. It's not part of who we are. We're having something thrust upon us to ruin us and destroy us. So we need the strength on the front lines. We need the men to be standing up, not just the women. We need the women to continue, but we need them to bring up their men. And men need to be stepping away from these burdens and these traps that we've walked into, because so much of what men are after is the pursuit of money, not the pursuit of God. And God is the only way through this. Someone comes up to me and says, my portfolio is worth X, and I'm usually going to go, and that means what? Well, I have all sorts of money. I can retire. I can do this. And I'm like, and that means what? What are you going to do all day long? You've apparently worked so hard in your life. You've been given the blessing that God gave you, apparently, to have all sorts of wealth, apparently. And now the best you can do is to say, well, you know, I think I'm going to end up going maybe down to the beach, and I'll make sandcastles, and I'll sip my sangria, and then I'll come back and we can have dinner. We're detached. And to get us re-anchored, it begins in Scripture. We have to start getting into the Word, and we have to start praying into the Word and asking God, where do you need us on this fight? We have to start looking at these events that are happening in the Bible to significantly improve our hearts and how we relate to one another. And in doing so, we're raising up our communities. We're raising up our nation. We're setting a moral foundation in which can't be changed or rocked. But we are off our moral foundation right now. And it's why it's so easy for these fools to get a foothold. And they are getting footholds. And there's been so much deluge of attack on the American public that I would say that many of them are either tired or are tired for sure. Or worn down so much that they can't see or think clearly as to what it truly is to be an American and to be an American under the throne of God. And there we have it. Our nation has to be reset with people's eyes on Christ and through Christ to our Father. And our nation can be reset that way when we wage war in the spiritual realm for the throne, which is what we seek to have Father return to. And so as we wage war, be cautious of your enemy that will throw temptation and will throw these other things in front of you to confuse you. But what we need here in this war is we need strong men that can pray. We need strong men that can wield the sword of the Spirit. We have strong men that have to have that firmness and focus that men should have. You have to think in terms of consequences, first, second, and third order effects. And men can do this. And the best part about bringing men together is you can train them, mentor them, and do it fairly quickly. And most will catch on to it. And this is part of resetting the skills of a nation, an army of a nation that can stand up now against this evil and say, enough is enough. We shall not bend anymore. We don't have an easy row ahead. And I don't paint these pictures to be negative, but I also don't paint these pictures to be overly rosy. The fact of the matter is that we have an aggressive enemy who doesn't sleep at night, who's constantly figuring out ways it can go tactical on everybody. And as an American public as a whole, people keep asking the wrong question. Where's our military? Who's going to fix it for me? Where's Jesus? We fix it, not them. Because it's our anointing, our hour, to step into this and do what needs to be done and do it right. And as we do that, we start to see them grow like an incredible forest of trees. The powerful thing that we're seeing now is we see strong men of courage stepping into the line and stepping on the point of the spear. They carry that green beret. And you know who I'm talking about. Corey Cherry and Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers are super important in this fight. So is Cam Hamilton, who's a Navy SEAL. And not to take anything away from Brad Miller, because he's 101st Airborne. It's another issue. Not another issue, but another category of greatness. But these men are great men that are standing up and giving examples to other men to stand up. And it's a hat tip to them, because we need those examples for people to look up to and say, I want to achieve that. And with that, as this grows, other men stand, and it's your responsibility to bring up others with you. But we have to get a strength back. You have to get a fire back. And a fire isn't about hugs. And hugs are great, by the way. But they're not. It's not about that in the hugs. The fire is understanding the authorities given to you to be able to use prayer warfare in a strategic and focused sense, to lethally go after targets that you know and the Holy Spirit's led you to do, to shred them. And to leave the enemy in disarray. That's Gideon's horns and the pots of light. We need the mightiness of men, the sons and sons of God, that the earth is groaning for the hour in which for them to arise. And this is now. But you have to step across the line. Now, women, where do you come in? It's so big here, because I'm not telling you to stand on the side, nor to God. But you also have to help the men stand up. And unfortunately, that is where we are. Because the overall years and years and years of beating down men, of getting role changes, of having women always put above them in so many different ways, constantly being told that you're not worthy, constantly wearing them down to where they don't feel the power. And those that truly are working those hard jobs, like the loggers, the plumbers, the electricians, you're suddenly finding that they're like a separate class of people because they can't relate to this other class that has decided to take a work away from the land and a work from trade and just live a life for money. Money is the ultimate corrupter. It's what corrupts the heart. It's what keeps us locked into this insanity. And it's what will sink this ship if we're not careful. So be mighty. Be mighty in the word. Be mighty in your focus and your thoughts. Be mighty in the way you wage war. Wage war intentionally every day. Look for your target, pray on it, and go after it. Don't hesitate. Pete said it last time, you don't have to be a special forces for certain skills, like looking through a vortex optic with a really good SIG. Like, I was just reminded of, that's some nice stuff. They've got great skills. But besides that, in all truth, what we are needing, and women, this is where you have to help. You have to help raise up the men. A powerful man is reinforced by a strong woman who cares about them and speaks into their heart and pours into their heart in great ways so that the men can realize who they are. Men, like it or not, it's this. And this always gets people uncomfortable, and I just don't care anymore. Adam and Eve. It was from Adam's rib that Eve came. The two are joined. And with Eve, we gain empathy, and we gain motherhood, and we gain compassion, and we gain some emotions. But that ambush in the garden was significant, because when you ambush Eve, then men blame women. And they turn a beautiful connection into an objectified relationship. Men, you know very well the level of addictions that are going on out here with pornography alone. And pornography is a deal killer for any future of this nation. We need the mighty men of God to stand. Purified hearts, casting aside the burdens of the past, stepping in and being wise enough to hear the voice of a woman in your life or a friend as a woman to tell you the things that you need to hear so that you can become better. Not because they want something from you other than to see a man rise up. The screaming of the women right now is profound. Screaming is metaphorically placed. The reaching out of women is profound right now, and what they're wanting to see more men be mighty. And it's just as easy as looking at God and saying, okay, God, send me. Be one that does. Get your hands in the dirt. Churn the dirt. Feel the dirt. Live the dirt. When you do, you'll be set free from these chains of this earth, and the mightiness of which you are will start to evolve. And that's where we have to start to build this mighty army of men. Let's pray. Father God, in a rambling set of words tonight, just kind of letting the Holy Spirit roll, the whole focus being the men. And there's so many components of this, God, that it's not just an easy one-off. But what we're just praying for now is that it is a prayer for this evening to literally break off those restrictive chains that have enslaved men to a paradigm that no longer exists or can exist. We need men into the fight. We need men in fire with the Holy Spirit. We need men leaning into this and understanding that as prayer warriors, they are mighty. This isn't something that you have to be embarrassed for or hesitate to in a world as prayer warriors, stepping in and praying for something and knowing in your heart that it will happen. And we need that, Father, in our men. So we ask that blessing to pour down upon them this night, to awaken their hearts and to awaken the hearts of the women that know them or walk with them. And to do that in such a way that the two again rise up as Eve was of Adam's rib. We begin to rebuild that forge of unity where it's two against one and two into the one. And the mightiness of that is they're both carrying shields and they're both carrying swords. So Father, bless us in this hour. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So Patriots, all sorts of stuff to consider. And that was truly like just a free flow rant all night long. But it's good because it's all centered on trying to wake men up and get them into the fight. And we have to. This isn't a country that's going to be built on women. Women, no offense. It's a country that needs its men desperately. So a part of that, men, is you feel more comfortable, especially those that his wife is playing this podcast for you, and you're like, oh, here we go again. Well, here's a thought. Next time this podcast comes on, open up the gun cabinet. Take out the one that isn't cleaned, you know, or the one that hasn't been cleaned for a while. Pull out all the cool stuff that you need, your cleaning rod, your pads, the solvents, the tools that you're going to need. Lay it out. Put out your cleaning mat on the table. Your wife's going to come in and say, hey, I want you to listen to the podcast. Don't roll your eyes. Smile. You got your greatest toy sitting in front of you. Start cleaning. Make it spotless. Listen to the words that come out. Then get ready to fight. Because this war is here. And we need your heart as men of God. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I will see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel something. Let me get back in my body.